us to commence this evening with hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. 671.
of the Word of God is from the book of Job, chapter 37. Book of Job, chapter 37. This is the last chapter of the young man Elihu wrote or spoke. But this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvellously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens, and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breadth of the waters is straitened. Also by watering he weareth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world and the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them? Caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when he quieteneth the earth by the south wind? Hast thou with him spread out the sky which is strong, and as a molten looking glass? Teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speak, surely he shall be swallowed up. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Fair weather cometh out of the north, with God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. He blessed to us each the reading of his word. Help us in prayer. Dear Lord, we come again in supplication and prayer. We venture near our hope, and indeed our desire is that provision thou hast made in the person of thy Son Jesus will enable us to venture. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Lord, help us to come as we are. We cannot improve upon ourselves, but we venture to plead thy finished name, like thy name, the finished work, before thy Father in glory. So, Holy Spirit, instruct us how to pray. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt be here. We thank thee for the means of grace, and we pray according to thy promise, that even where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. May it be proved that Jesus is in the house. We do thank thee also, Lord, that thou hast reminded us in the gospel, this man, this glorious son of righteousness, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. We venture to come according to such a promise, Lord, with nothing to plead but our sin, with nothing to plead but mercy through Jesus. So we would plead that thou would have mercy, that thou would condescend, that thou would dwell amongst us. But we also pray for thy Spirit. Lord, we hear according to the word of God. And so we need the Holy Spirit as our instructor. But there again, dear Lord, it is the promise which thou hast left on record that we plead. He shall teach you all things. Lord, we're wholly dependent upon the Holy Spirit as we plead before thee. We seek too, Lord, that gracious humility, oh, that we might understand by experience thy servant wrote when he said unto me, I'm less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Lord, it has been asked that our gathering together may be of God. Lord, may we ask that from all eternity, that such a day, such a night, in the courts of thy house was appointed. We do pray too, Lord, let none go empty away. But we also pray, Lord, too, that none may come to thy house. Indeed, may the exercise of their soul brought them here to hear what God the Lord will say. Lord, this wonderful work of grace, which is sovereign in the gift of it and wonderful in the experience of it. Oh, may there be those here, Lord, that shall come with a longing heart, a seeking spirit, that shall indeed glean in the gospel field and take home what they glean. Lord, we do pray therefore that thou wilt be with us. Lord, it is a great privilege to be found in thy house. We desire to be here, but Lord, may it be that in thy house we shall meet with thee. Lord, we read of thy servant in the psalm the Lord was entered into thy house in a very sad state. But he could say, until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, sanctuary of God. It was a time of revelation. It was a time of very sad revelation. But it was a time of blessing also. Lord, remember all that are gathered here. Lord, that have gathered to hear the word of God. May it not leave them desolate or destitute. May the Holy Spirit bless living souls. And Lord, may it please thee that each one may be found with a desire and a seeking spirit after thee. Oh, satisfy the longing soul. We earnestly pray. Be very mindful of those that are young. Lord, young in the way, may they be young in the ways of grace. Lord, may that new nature and the effect of it be realized, Lord, within them. Lord, that seek after not so much the things of time and sense, which are indeed so attractive, but the things that are of Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Holy Spirit be found in these dear young people. We do pray for all, though, Lord. Parents, grandparents, each one of them that is in thy house. Lord, that have turned aside from daily concerns. Oh, that they may be able to leave these daily concerns outside and worship. Lord, we pray therefore that thou wilt visit thy cause and interest here in strengthening, reviving, and confirming the seeking soul. Lord, there are those here, Lord, we know, feel, are indeed the subjects of grace. Lord, may the love of Christ be found in their heart. May they seek and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Lord, help us to cast all our cares upon thee and prove that thou carest for us. Be very mindful of the church that is planted here. Gather into the church those who thou hast eternally loved. Lord, we read of thy servant's words, the love of Christ constraineth us. May there be those, Lord, in this place that shall be constrained to follow thee in thy ordinances. Perhaps, Lord, that they look inside and find a nest of sin. Perhaps they look inside and see many things which would they feel would be so opposite to the walk of a child of God. Lord, enable them to look up, to look to Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Thy servant wrote, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we pray therefore that they might be endued with love to Jesus Christ. The Lord once said, nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love shall I receive. Lord, may there be some sweet evidences of the pardon of sin. Then will I tell to sinners round what a kind Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. Lord, there are those here that know about that precious way of salvation. May there be those here, Lord, that shall be found in that way and experience truth and righteousness and mercy too. What a blessed day, Lord, when mercy is revealed. We do pray, Lord, that thy tender spirit thy humble spirit may be found in many a heart. And oh, that gift of love, that love to Jesus. We love him, we read, because he first loved us. But we read of his love also, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let there be, Lord, that sweet testimony in many a soul, an interest in the love of Christ. And so strengthen the church. Remember our friends who hold the offices of deacon. Lord, they need grace. Grant them grace to walk humbly before thy people. And as they seek the welfare of this place, Lord, we pray that they may be indeed blessed with faith to plead. Remember the ministry here. Bless thy servants' testimony as they come amongst them. Lord, we pray for an exercise, a God-given exercise, a united exercise, respecting an under-shepherd. Lord, one whom thou hast laid in the heart of thy people, one whom thy people laid in his heart, so that there may be a coming together and the will of the Lord be done. Hear us as we pray for those in affliction's path and ask thy healing hand and restoring mercy. Remember those, Lord, that are in sorrow or in distress. Lord, comfort their hearts. Sin makes sorrow. Oh, how to be, what a blessed thing to be a sorrowing sinner. Lord, one was found at Jesus' feet, washing his feet with her tears. Lord, sorrowing over sin. Oh, let there be more sorrow for sin in us. Oh, may we find, Lord, and prove the truth. Oh, Lord, to be sorry for sin, to be a repentant sinner, one that draws near on the grounds of mercy. Hear us too, Lord, we pray thee for each one, Lord, and we thank thee for the path of providence and how kind and good thou art to us. What blessings we have, what mercies we receive, daily, all undeserved. Lord, we pray therefore that we may be found seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Providential blessings and possessions will fade. Eternal mercies can never fade. Lord, reveal thyself. And in this troublesome age and time in which our lives are spared, Lord, may we prove that thou art still on the throne. Lord, Jacob could say to his sons, go again to the man. Help us, Lord, in these troublous times to go again to Jesus. Lay our burdens and our concerns at his feet. Lord, was there any turned away that came when he was here? Was there a complaint, a malady, an affliction that he couldn't manage? Lord, how encouraging it is. So help thy people to be able by faith to come with their load, with their burden, with their sins. Lord, with their anxieties and with their fears, to come and lay them at Jesus' feet. Keep us, Lord, from the love of sin. We do earnestly pray, Lord, that thou would keep us also from the spirit of the world. Dear Lord, make thy mercy and thy goodness to pass before us. Lord, we are very poor and we are very needy, wholly dependent. Lord, we cast our care and our burden upon thee. Lord, and trust that thou wilt now be the help of the helpless. But Lord, may thy grace be in this pulpit, and may thy grace be in the pew. Lord, bind us together, may we be of one mind and of one heart. Lord, we seek this mercy and favour. And now, Lord, what we fail to ask for, we pray thou wilt make up in giving. Help our friend to choose and announce the hymns. Lord, bless us together with hearing ears and an understanding heart. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 787. Come, poor sinners, come away. In meditation sweet, let us go to Golgotha and kiss our Saviour's feet. Let us in his wounded side wash till we every whit are clean. That's the fountain opened wide for filthiness and sin. 787.
Thank you.
dependent entirely, once again, upon the help of God, I would direct you to the 37th chapter of the book of Job, verse 13. Chapter 37 of the book of Job, verse 13. He causes it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. He causes it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Elihu, the word tells you, was a young man, but a very gracious young man. But as we have read down this chapter, you will see the effect upon him of a good and gracious and yet holy God. He uses, I was going to say, illustrations like the weather to prove the greatness of God. And I thought as we began, at this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. What a mercy, dear friends, if you and I have such an experience, a spiritual experience in our own soul, that our heart trembleth before him who is holy, undefiled, separate from sinners. And as the text obviously directs our thoughts, the things that the Lord sent, he causes it to come, whether for correction, or as the margin says, a rod, or for his land, or for mercy. It will be, dear friends, a great mercy if he instructs and teaches you in the way that he's taught Elihu and Job. He is the author of all the dealings of God with you and with me. He causes it to come. The work of grace in a sinner's heart is a miracle, but he causes it to come. But why does he cause it to come? What is the purpose of his dealings with you and me in a way of grace? Well, dear friends, many will say, and it is true also, he loves his people, and they are appointed unto salvation. They become, at the due time, according to the purposes of God, the subjects of his grace. Many will tell you there's other ways to heaven. Many will try to persuade you and me that we can take up with the things of Jesus Christ ourselves. But dear friends, we're so unclean and we're so ruined by sin, there's not a thing in us, not a spirit in us, nor a desire found in us by birth that will ever seek mercy. If you've ever come, and I'm sure, I believe it is, my feelings are right, there are many here that have prayed for mercy. Dear friends, it doesn't come out of a barren heart. It doesn't come out of natural feelings. If God has begun to deal with you, he will deal with you by his grace, and he'll show you the need of mercy, and he'll make you feel that mercy, feel the need of it, feel the application of it, see the evidence of it in the person of Jesus Christ. So whatever Elihu has taught us by reminding us of extremities of the weather and so on. Dear friends, we must abide with this word, respecting the grace and mercy of God in our soul. To be able to say and hope, we trust that he caused it to come in the first place. If you've got a heart, dear friends, that is inclined to Jesus Christ, if you've got a nature that longs to communicate and have communion with him, it isn't your old nature. It's your new nature. One of the things about grace, or the mercy of grace, is the revelation that it brings. It comes to my thoughts what is recorded in the day of Pentecost. They gather together. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples that they should abide at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. There they were, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them as in a flame of fire. Not that they were not the subjects of grace before, but they were the subjects of divine mercy, and it sent those apostles out to preach. But when you read the second chapter of the book of the Acts, you will find, not in the words, but in the power of those words of the Holy Spirit upon them, that was made a blessing to the hearers. Has the word of God had an effect upon your soul? It had an effect upon those that were attendant to the Apostle Peter's ministry. And you find those words, men and brethren, what shall we do? Blessed days in the Church of Christ, you know, when the word of God is received with power, with the authority of God. What we need, I said just now, is the revelation. What we need is what the old ministers used to say, application. You've heard the word of God all your days, as I have. But has it come to pass that you hear it in the ear and you understand it in the mind, and that's all? It's just another text, it's just another Sabbath day, just another service in the house of God? Or have you come to and are you found under this divine teacher, the Holy Spirit? Because the word goes on to say he causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. And that's the work of the Spirit. As the margin reminds us, the rod, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what the correction will teach you. That's what the application of the word of God will teach you. Oh, dear friends, there's so many that live under the sound of the truth, but are not affected by the truth. The preaching of Jesus is very attractive. Dear friends, the preaching of Jesus is more attractive if you're a lost soul. He becomes more precious. How can he be precious to a person who doesn't stand in need of him? What can you say about the preciousness of his blood if you don't know what it is to be a sin-stained soul? What can you say about the promises of the gospel and the blessings that are, and those promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus? What can you say about them if you've got no need of them? Oh, but dear friends, if you've got a need of them, if you are blessed with that description in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Dear friends, if you're blessed with that blessing, with that desire, that hunger, that thirst, he'll cause it to come, and it will be for mercy. You that come, and may I talk to those, or may I speak to those who not only come to the means of grace, but come to the throne of grace. The means of grace won't save you. But the throne of grace is where you will find mercy. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a living soul's experience, dear friends. Not a person who goes to and fro the house of God as destitute of life, as the seat that he sits on. Blessed are those days when he causes it to come. I remember this was most precious to me one occasion. I came into the house of God at 10 o'clock to the early morning prayer meeting in down at Tunbridge Wells. It came to me like this: once a sinner near despair sought his mercy seat by prayer, mercy came and set him free. Lord, that mercy came to me. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. And I'm sure this, dear friends, there's not a soul here, if he's the subject of the grace of God, doesn't need correction, doesn't need a word from God, or made aware of a word from God that he's like a rod to them. Correction. It speaks solemnly into the soul. Now, may I just also remind you of another word. In the book of the Revelation, we read this: as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. It's a blessed word to a sinner, but it includes too the purposes of God to one he loves. This provision of the gospel brings to light the mercy of that gospel. Some in substance of the gospel is what the apostle wrote to the Corinthians: I desire to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the sum and substance of the gospel. But who is it spoken to? And what sort of soul is it that can, as the apostle did, put that down as the one thing needful? I without him perish must. What a blessed day that is in your life, dear friends, when he quickens your soul into life. Gives you a new nature. What does it say in this Old Testament? A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. But then again, we have to say this, dear friends, by experience, I believe. Oh, to be the subjects of his grace will be the subjects of his mercy. But is it a pleasant path? Is it something that you rejoice in? It will be so, but not at the first. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. You sing, don't you, sometimes, convince me of my sin and lead to Jesus' blood. Would the Lord answer your prayer? I desire that he would do so, that he may be revealed. But dear friends, who shall he be revealed to? One who stands in need of him. If you see the sovereignty of this word as well, if you go to Luke 23, you'll find out about the thieves that were crucified. But you'll find out a work of grace. You'll find out conviction of sin. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Dear friends, that's conviction of sin. If you go in, you stay in the book of Ruth, in book of Luke, rather, and you'll find a man who's described as a prodigal. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and are no more worthy to be called thy son. That's what the Holy Spirit will teach his people And it's called conviction. Is it pleasant? No, it isn't. If there's somebody that dragged all your secret sins out into the open, dear friends, you would find it far from pleasant. Far from pleasant. Well, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit would do. I look down at Psalm 19. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Not the ones that everyone else sees, but the ones that they don't see. When you read in the Psalm, the 51st Psalm, the Psalm of David, and the confessions that he made, and the desires that he made, 51st Psalm says this in it. And this is where the children of God will come into. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. That was the man who prayed, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He causes it to come out of his love to his people. A work of grace begins. Wonderful love of Jesus Christ, wonderful love of God through his Spirit quickens souls into divine life. A most unpleasant experience because sin is revealed. But dear friends, that's a work of mercy. Because I tell you why. It will put a cry in your heart. It will make you pray according to the Spirit, not according to duty. If the Holy Spirit teaches you to pray, he'll teach you to pray for what you stand in need of in your own soul. I was brought up to say my prayers at night as I went to bed when I was a child. I brought my children up to do the same. But I couldn't put a need in them, could I? No more than anyone could have put a need in my heart either. But I believe, dear friends, it has been since proved that God put a need in there. He causes it to come. The mercy of this word, dear friends, is that first word, he. If you look at Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul speaks about, in the second and third verses, how that we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. But then we get to those words in the next verse, but God. And that's the author. And he's the author. And it's a wonderful thing, dear friends, if you can see the mercy and the authority of a work of grace. Because the purposes of the work of grace is to bring a sinner to the feet of Jesus. He causes it to come. Great mercy. I said just now about the prodigal. We know all about the prodigal. But do you know about the time of the prodigal? The world had its attractions and so it drew his heart and affection. His old heart, by the way, and his old nature. Then there came a time when he began to be in want. There came a time, and that was the time of God's mercy. It drew out of his heart repentance and confession. But he put his heart and his feet in the way towards his Father's house. He causes it to come. But dear friends, lest you think this is a sermon about the misery of sin, if you consider that this word has another meaning to it, dear friends, may you, and you will if you've got grace, you'll live to prove the truth why it causes it to come. Because it's laid up in the purposes of Jesus Christ, redeeming love. Yes, you will know the need of mercy. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. I'll tell you what I've said lots of times lately, and you probably heard it as I was here last month. There's a word in the prophecy, Zechariah, in that day shall a fountain be opened for thee, for sin and uncleanness, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness in that day. And I hope you'll forgive me, but in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Now, that day, of course, was the day of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be a wonderful day if you had such a day in your life? Not a Sunday, nor a Monday, nor a Tuesday, but a day in God's calendar, when he convinces you of your sin. And then, dear friends, in the pathway of near despair, once a sinner near despair sought thy mercy seat by prayer, mercy came and set him free. Lord, that mercy came to me. If such a day dawns in your walk and pathway, when that fountain is revealed to you, dear friends, that fountain, in that day shall this fountain be opened for the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. So they were all sinners, all sensible of that condition. The hymn says, a time of love will come when each shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me, tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveals his love with power. He causes it to come. And there are those here who have known these things. There are those here that have been blessed with light and love and fellowship with Jesus Christ, but they've lived along a little further since that day, and they've entered into a state of sorrow over sin again. Go again to this man. He causes it to come. God's appointments, dear friends, these are revelations of his mercy in the person of Jesus. Perhaps there are those, and there are those in religion, who would say, once forgiven, no more to be bothered with. I've had it said to me, sin is dead, why do you keep talking about sin for? And I said, well, you might be, I'm not. It's sin that troubles me now. Dear friends, what a mercy. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. It isn't the hand of man, it isn't the hand of a minister, it isn't the hand of anyone on earth, it's the hand of God. He causes it to come. Dear friends, I will say this too. Oh, I do believe there is amongst us here, dear souls that wait for his salvation. Indeed, Psalm 27, it says something like this. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. If you cause to wait, you won't wait in vain. Oh, he'll try that waiting. He'll try the faith that he gives. Dear friends, it may seem to you as if he'll never come. But there isn't a soul on earth nor a soul in heaven that hasn't had to wait upon the Lord and wait for him. And dear friends, so, oh, what a solemn time to wait, because Satan takes advantage. Oh, he'll tell you he'll never come. You've waited years, you say. Dear friends, You'll find, you'll prove that you won't wait in vain. He causes it to come. We thought, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but in the 37th Psalm, David says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He causes it to come. Now, it is the exercise of your soul. And that time will not pass, dear friends, and you'll never despair, you'll never go to despair. But this speaks about the pathway through life, through this spiritual life of the child of God, whether for correction, he causes it to come, reproving. Does he reprove you? Does he rebuke you? Dear friends, you go to chapel thinking you're going to hear something comfortable. It's the disobedient children here. How do you expect the Lord to smile upon a path of disobedience? Dear friends, a path of disobedience will have his frown. But a path of obedience will have his smile. Whether for correction, whether for correction in your pathway. One of the mercies, dear friends, of his grace, and also of his patience towards his dear people. There's two things, dear friends. God will have his children seek him. What was it that was found in all those sick and afflicted souls in the days of Jesus Christ? If they were all whole, if they were all sound, if their faculties were all in one piece, and they didn't need healing, they didn't need sight to the blind or hearing to the deaf, or such afflictions that were upon the body, palsy. If they hadn't got these things, if that woman hadn't got the issue of blood for 12 years, and she wouldn't have come to Jesus Christ, well, she wouldn't have needed him. Jesus Christ, dear friends, will be revealed to needy souls, seeking souls. What a blessed mercy that is, dear friends. When he's revealed as the way of mercy and the way of goodness, I would that you was all felt your sin state, the state of your sin in your soul, and it brought you to the throne of grace. Two things I said, dear friends, which is vitally important, and that is that he'll have his people seek him. But dear friends, the other thing which is most important, to give you something to seek for. He'll lay upon you the need of his mercy. God be merciful to me, a sinner. He was a sinner by birth, but he now a sinner by experience. It was a grief to him that he was a sinner. It was sorrow, just the same as the woman we spoke about in prayer in Luke 7. She washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, dried them with the hairs of her head. These things, which you might sound, it might sound strange, but dear friends, if he afflicts you with the knowledge of sin, it has this purpose in it, that it will bring you to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace, and it will bring you to Jesus Christ, dear friends, with the solemn knowledge of the need of mercy. That is why, dear friends, I'll come. That is why they came in the days of his pilgrimage. There was something revealed of the power, the authority of the Son of God, who could deal with this complaint and that complaint. No one was ever sent away unhealed. It wasn't take this and see how you go on with it. Dear friends, it was instant. Do you remember the text in May? He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He calls it to come whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. What a blessed thing it is if you can, or you will be, this is the truth of this word. Dear friends, you'll come to the time when you'll see it's mercy, not judgment. How many of the children of God in their early days of sorrow over sin, how many of those times when they've felt solemnly that there can't be mercy because they're such sinners? But that is mercy. All that come to Jesus Christ will never be cast out, but they'll come as they should, and they'll come as they're drawn. Such that will come as they are. But the blessing, dear friends, is the mercy that makes them come, draws them. Dear friends, that woman who had the issue of blood 12 years, she'd been all over the place for a cure, but there wasn't a cure. And in the end, the scriptures tell us she rather grew worse. She spent all she had on a cure which was useless. She rather grew worse. Dear friends, what a mercy. Those words were recorded in the scriptures. When she heard of Jesus. How she heard of him, of course it doesn't matter. But she did. And there was faith given to her. She felt persuaded. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Well, dear friends, Jesus draws the chosen race. Dear friends, they'll come as they are. Not some improvement. Not putting away this and putting away that. Oh, the Lord keep, may his grace rule and reign in your heart and over your heart. So that the things that once were your desire and delight is not so now. Blessed are those souls, dear friends, that come as they are then. Nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love shall I receive. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. One dear aged servant said to me, if you want him to come, he already has. And I've lived to prove the truth of those simple words. You see, if you can understand this simplicity of this truth, I hope you can. As I said, there's many a soul that see their badness and feel that badness is a hindrance. Dear friends, it's not a hindrance to Jesus Christ in that respect if it draws you to him. If as a sorrowing sinner that you are constrained to come, there's nowhere else to go but to go and to plead his name on the grounds of mercy. But I also want to, if you need reminding, I was going to say, what is the underlying truth of this? Well, it's his love for his people. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Difficult, dear friends. It's a profound mystery. But God has a people. And they are fallen in Adam. They are sinners, as all the sons of Adam are. But it is upon those who are his that he works this wonderful work of correction and teaching. He loads their shoulders well with woe, and thus obtains his end. But I can't get away from this. He causes it. Your salvation and mine rests upon a precious, glorious, truthful sin-hating God who has provided his Son. Consider, dear friends, the mercy that's in the heart of Jesus Christ, the love that's in the heart. He laid aside his glorious heavenly garments, came on earth, born into this world, born in a stable, laid in a manger. Humility, this is the Son of God. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. As he directed you to where to find mercy, as he revealed in the purposes of his love that it's found in the person of Jesus. There's a lovely hymn, if you have the grace to sing it. It speaks about the way in which the, I can't find it, it says something like this. Fifth verse of the 170th hymn. Sinner, thou hast done the deed. Thou hast made the Saviour bleed. Justice drew its sword on me. Pierce my heart to pass by thee. If I loved my Lord before, I would love him 10 times more. Drop into his sea outright, lose myself in Jesus quite. Whatever was the motivation in the desire of the Greeks of old, we would see Jesus. We don't know whether it was a motivation of curiosity. We don't know whether it was a condition in their soul that brought them to seek after Jesus Christ. There were no doubt in the days of his flesh there was many that followed him for the bread that he broke and the fishes that he broke. Would remember how he had fed 5,000 and 4,000. What a miracle. Truly was a miracle. But dear friends, the ones that knew him most were sinners. And they were the ones that were drawn. But they were never disappointed, were they? Those who seek him sometimes have to seek him for a long time. Perhaps he tries your faith, then you say. Would that he came tomorrow or came tonight, you would say. Would that he come when I pray? Dear friends, the pathway to the blessing is a pathway of trial. But it will prove to you, dear friends, of the certainty of his coming, but it will prove to you of the state and condition of your own soul. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, now sat down at the right hand of the Father. What a blessed, dear friends, what a blessed word it is then to coming sinners. He causes it to come. When he makes your pathway, trying and difficult. I remember years back, we suffered at the hands of evil men. It was a lesson to learn, a solemn lesson to learn. Dear friends, we neglected the throne of grace. That's why it came. That was the purpose. But I'll tell you something else. I can't explain it. There was one occasion, dear friends, when we had such a time. On a Friday night, we come home from preaching. And our home was broken into. And I came to this conclusion. You know, we've got a hymn in our book that says this, nor Gabriel asked the reason why, nor God the reason give. Dear friends, you need grace. One needs grace to bow to the sovereign will of God. But dear friends, did it drive you from the throne of grace or drive you to it? He causes it to come for correction or for his land or for mercy. Dear friends, when he deals with you, if he deals with you as his children, it is on the grounds of mercy. That's the way of love of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people. On grounds of mercy. Doesn't it make mercy attractive? Oh, how mercy, dear friends, is the most beautiful word to an undeserved sinner. But all his dealings, I thought, you know, I suppose you and I have got many mercies in this life, many comforts. Is that the only mercy you've got in this life? Came to my mind or thought, as I said a couple of seconds ago, what he's written in John's Gospel. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where was he going? What was he going to do? He was going to Calvary to lay his life down. Dear friends, he wasn't going to heaven without first finishing his Father's work. He came into the world to save sinners, and save sinners he was going to do, and he did do, by offering himself for guilty souls. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Dear friends, the blessings of mercy that I hope, and I may say this, and I desire that you may know and feel, cost him suffering, cost him his life. When you read, dear friends, that it was for mercy's sake, dear friends, that such souls that are undeserved of mercy may be the subjects of mercy. But dear friends, it cost him untold suffering and pain and distress. Is sin a burden to you? You cannot conceive, dear friends, what a burden the church's sin was to Jesus Christ. If your sin's a burden, bless him, dear friends, if he's made it a burden to you. Numbers of the human race, millions of the human race, haven't got the burden of sin. They're not troubled with it. They live and die destitute of it. But you see, sinners won't go to glory, dear friends, without first the burden of sin being made known to them. They won't go to glory, dear friends, without the mercy that the burden bearer has to indeed provide for them. He must know what it is. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When you think, dear friends, I hope you can enter into it. It isn't a passing thought. The Lord forbid. The Lord grant you a meditating spirit, an inquiring mind, I was going to say, towards the person of Jesus Christ, what he's accomplished. That he came into the world is a mercy. That he took up the exercises of the children of God or of the afflicted and the distressed of the people of God. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Dear friends, when he deals with his people, it is for mercy's sake. Not works. It's not some benefit that they've accrued. It's not some mercy that they deserve. There's a centurion, isn't there, in the gospel, who sent a messenger to Jesus Christ that his servant was ill. And he said, I'm not worthy to come, and I'm not worthy that I should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Oh, for such mercy, dear friends. Oh, for such humility. Oh, for such a blessing, dear friends, that points out he causes it. You know, you can say, there's lots of people can say, well, I've been to chapel all my days. That's not the ground, dear friends. But it would be a great mercy, dear friends, if you could say that whilst I've been coming to the means of grace, because my parents brought me here, it would be a wonderful mercy to be able to say, he met me here. And he began to deal with me here. And the mercy of the gospel came to be so attractive. The person of Jesus Christ then becomes precious in the want of him, and then precious in the possession of him. He shed his blood that sinners should be cleansed from their sin. How precious must that blood have been, and is. Dear friends, it still is, isn't it? When he's drawn near to you, poor sinner, and revealed himself, you know it draws love out of the heart to him. Dear friends, what a wonderful thing. We love him because he first loved us. But there we must leave it. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. The Lord pardon what's been wrong. Oh, may he bless his word. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Izzard next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 902. Let him who thirsts for heavenly joys come unto me, the Saviour cries, and drink at my spring head. Leave all your boasting self behind, for from the Saviour you shall find a glorious life indeed. 902.
Dear Lord, wilt thou bless thy word? Oh, pardon all that has been amiss. Lord, thou knowest the sorrows of the way. Lord, bless thy word. Bless it to thy dear waiting people. Lord, may it explain what we can't explain, the mercy of God to sinners. Now, dear Lord, take care of us as we leave thy house. Grant us journey and mercies to our homes. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit, Comforter, remain with us now and forever. Amen.